Welcome to season two of We're Listening the Podcast. We are back with fresh perspective and a renewed energy. So whether you're new to the community or a seasoned practitioner, we continue to create a community where every voice is valued, respected, and heard. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome, 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 everyone. Today we have somewhat of royalty, as I could say it, in the Three Principal community. That one got you. You ain't ready for that one, I know. Everybody, welcome to the show. Someone I am having the funnest time talking to and getting to know, Erica Buckby, everybody. Hello.
Good to see you, Rob.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you didn't know I was gonna call you royalty, huh? Yeah.
No, I didn't. I was not expecting that. I don't know if I agree with it, but yeah.
Well, cool. Well, here's what I would love so people can know what I'm talking about. Why don't you go ahead and just give a brief introduction to yourself so they kind of know who you are, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I'm Erica Buckby. Thanks for having me. I've been coaching people for 25 years. First half of my life as a therapist, second half as a coach. And I specialize in teenagers, but I train practitioners and work the rest of my practice is just people of all ages. I love what I do and I could talk about it all day, as you know, Rob.
Yes. I love it. I love the passion and I can't wait to get into the youth. Actually, we can jump straight into it. I'm going to send a love message to your parents though, which is why I call you royalty. Which most of the community, if you've listened to me for any point in time, have either heard, they both have their own episode, Linda and George Prinsky, but you've heard their voices. Erica's their daughter, which I love, and I knew but didn't know to hear recently again. But I want to get into the youth. Where did that come from?
The working with teenagers?
Yeah.
It's funny, I was working, so I grew up learning about the principles. I understood that we all are connected to the same source of intelligence and a universal wisdom. And I saw that in myself as somebody who was really troubled and all of a sudden like turned things around and saw, well, I'm just caught up in thought. It happened so fast. And I was maybe 13 or 14 when it happened. So I knew I had health in me, but I was early in my career, a few years out of graduate school, I worked with this client who was really young teenager and she was prostituting herself so that she could make money and essentially get away from her parents. Her parents brought her up to get help because she had oppositional defiance disorder and was just, you know, a big problem at school and at home. And I only got to talk to her a few sessions because parents, you know, thought we were too compassionate and weren't hard enough on her. And so they stopped bringing her in. And the only thing I was able to do is I just listened to her for a few sessions just to see like, what, you know, what's on your mind? Like, why are you doing drugs? Why are you sleeping with people? You're creating all this tension with your parents. Like, let me understand that. Like, what's it like at home? What's your life like? Talk to me.
Yeah.
And really, I just heard from her and then that was it. And I didn't get to see her after that. And I thought, oh, I didn't get to help her. Like she's really troubled and really down on myself. And then so funny, a few years later, she shows up in our office at Prinsky & Associates, where I was a partner for 20 years. And she came in and she said, you remember me? I came in, I met with you for a few times. And then since those meetings, my life turned around and now I'm engaged. I'm with this person that I love. She had her fiance with her. She said, I wanted to bring him back here because this is kind of where it all started. And she basically said, I thought I was crazy and a bad person and broken. Is that so? My parents saw me. And then you got interested. You were interested to hear my experience. And I realized why I was doing what I was doing. And my parents were really troubled people. And I ended up, got a restraining order on them, kind of a wild story. But she said, I realized I had to get away. And that's why I was doing what I was doing. And that saved my life. I realized maybe there's some guidance in here. And my head cleared, the judgment disappeared, and I realized, oh, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm getting guided to find a way to get stable myself personally. And she moved into a homeless shelter. And but it was so interesting because it put her all her behavior and all this context of, well, I didn't understand. Once I understood her behavior, she didn't look like a crazy person to me. And while she was explaining it, she stopped looking like a crazy person to herself. And she got all this quieted her mind, and she started just getting sort of, she saw what to do. And she forgave her parents, but she knew, I have to get away from them, like they're lost. And it made me realize I didn't even really do anything, and her health came out. And it showed me that everyone has the answers they need inside them. If this super troubled, very young person has their own answers, it's not on me to provide people's answers. And my listening improved, my faith in people improved, even though I couldn't see a reason to have faith in them yet. I figured there's probably a reason why they're doing what they're doing. And it not only made me want to specialize in teenagers, but it made me confident in even the most troubled clients I had before I even got a chance to help them. I just knew, like, there's something will happen in them. I just got to get quiet and understand them. And but it's not on me to fix them. And it took all the anxiety out of my work. And it just made me, in a way, sort of exhilarated about what I was doing and feeling like I'm just having so much trust in what people have inside of them that it took any insecurity I had as a practitioner completely out of the picture.
When you see I call it transformation, like the light bulb moment. When I realized I wasn't broken, oh, Eric, we're talking a totally new world. It was almost like being a kid again, like wanting to rethink things because the way I originally thought of them was, it was like, wait, I want to rerun my whole life.
Yeah, and I think that's too, being able to see all of a sudden you're just showing up to situations and problems like what makes sense to me instead of, oh, this happened because I'm broken or I'm not going to be able to do this is scary. What if it doesn't work out? And you don't, and then you're not carrying something into the moment, all the past. It feels, everything just feels like, well, I don't see why I can't do this. Like, let me just take a shot at it. There's a lightness that goes with that feeling like you're not at a disadvantage. Then all of a sudden you're just like anybody else who could work things out, and being able to see that in your clients, you can't see that until you see that for yourself.
That's so true. You say you didn't do anything for the young lady, but I think you did. I think you gave her earmuffs. I think you put the earmuffs on, which stopped the outside noise just enough for her to hear herself.
You know, we're sort of in this together, and you don't have the, you don't see them as a separate kind of a creature than you.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
then the way you, they feel that you don't put them in a different category. The judgment doesn't cloud the message. And I think that was the difference, is my message and just the questions I asked and the interest I had wasn't clouded by judging her or being afraid of her or seeing her as sick. I think she saw herself as sick, and that was the difference, is she'd never considered that she wasn't sick. And I think that's, in a way, I think teenagers, one of the reasons that I love working with teenagers is because they look like there's something wrong with them, and everyone is, in a way, people are sort of afraid of teenagers because they're so
Don't set them
raw.
off. Don't
Yeah,
set
don't
them
set
off.
them off, and they seem very unpredictable, and when they have mental health problems, they seem like they come on so fast and they're so extreme that it frightens people that, oh, there's something wrong with them. They don't work the way that I do. So then people are afraid of them. And I think a lot of parents, because of their fear, they don't just treat them like a regular person going through something. So then there feels like there's a separateness or a foreignness to it. And I, it's, that's not really what's happening. In a way, it's not true, but I think it's no different. Like, in a way, I think teenagers are sort of they're misunderstood in a way, in the same way that we're misunderstood when we have our tantrums and meltdowns in regular life. I think people see us as they feel like they don't know us anymore. They don't they get scared of us or judge us and think in a way. I watched this documentary the other day about cats and dogs. And when they what do they call them? Tamed them or domesticated them. It was so interesting. They said, dogs came along first. So they're like 20 to 40,000 years they've been around. And cats just showed up on the scene like maybe 10,000 years ago. And that's why cats are they're less tame. They scratch and bite. They're not, they're a little more feral. Dogs are kind of have blended in with people and kind of get the program more than cats because dogs have been around longer. And I think that's one of the things about teenagers, they just haven't been around that long. So they don't understand the, how the system, they haven't gotten a chance to get to take their, the fact that your spiritual life is always on the move and it's new to them. And I think in a way, that's the only difference is that our
The
understanding,
repetition.
yeah, we don't understand them, that they haven't gotten the hang of things yet, but they're exactly the same as we are when we have our meltdowns and tantrums and go off on people like that. And there's something about understanding, having not having had the time to understand how thought and the principles work. That's what teenagers are. But when you lay it out for them, they learn faster than anybody else.
Anybody else.
Yeah.
Any
And
yes.
they have just as much of a capacity to get that we live in a thought-created world and the source of our experience and enough to not take it personally and not be afraid of it.
Probably heard of, have you heard of Rebels of Peace, the guys out of Chicago? It was a couple calls with them when I saw this, and I first started working with Inside Alliance when I was like, because I grew up in an era where you go tell the young guys to be quiet, they don't know enough yet, they don't know, and they always should be listening, they shouldn't be talking around older men because we need to be telling them what it is they need. And oh my God, when I realized, no, y'all got it. Like the youth actually have it at a level that is so much faster than we have it because they haven't been so screwed up over, like you say, all the countless years of programming to be one way or whatever. And it was like, oh, they are on fire. It was an old Flintstones cartoon that gave me the insight. And it was you remember Bam Bam, right? Okay, so
Pebbles and Bam Bam,
Bam Bam was a Bam Bam, right? So remember how strong Bam Bam was? Bam Bam would pick up everything. And when he was a baby, he would just pick his parents up or he'd do something and it would always mess it up. Well, when they remade the Flintstones and Pebbles and Bam Bams were teenagers, they had taught him how to use his strength. So he was at that point, he would hold the car up so his dad could change the flat tire. He'd lift the couch up so his mom could vacuum. It was like, oh. We just have to teach them how to use their strength. Because Bam Bam, he seemed problematic when nobody was trying to, but the strength was there.
And that's the thing is I think a lot of people, and this is why my working with teenagers is get in a way has given me more certainty about people as I know, well, they have strengths. I don't, I'm listening for them and I'm interested in, well, where do they do things well? And, where do they have where do they go to reflect, or where does that side of them live that I want to teach them about that's already in there? I don't have to install it. I'm listening for it. But because I'm listening for it, it might be the first time a lot of them have considered that they have things going for them that are helping them, and it is the reason that their whole life isn't chaotic, just certain pockets of it. And I think that just if that rubs off on them, that I'm interested in pointing out areas where they do well, and how, the fact that they are the person their friends go to get help, and they're not interested. And I think for a lot of parents, especially in the sort of mental health crisis where everybody's mental health is doing badly, they don't really consider that their kids, they don't see their kids' strengths because they're just trying to put out the fires. And I think that's a part of it, is you don't want to just be putting out fires. You really want to get interested in, well, how is this person the same as the parents and as everybody else, that your friends that you help, they're the same.
And it's so interesting how every parent was a teenager at some point, if not a parent as a teenager. My mom was a teenager and parent at the same time. But I mean, everybody's had that moment. And I remember fussing with my daughters about their teenage moments, and they don't get it. I remember my mom fussing at me, and I didn't get it. Hearing stories from my grandmother telling my mom didn't get it. And I don't know where we picked that up to do, but it seems like it's this rite of passage that the generation before has to make it harder, or did it harder. I don't know if you probably heard it when you were growing up, but we were hearing stories like, if I say I rode the bus to school, my uncle's like, oh, that's because y'all soft. We used to have to walk 3 miles in the snow and dodge the bears before we went to school, and then still had to learn. It's like, okay, bro, all right, I can't compete with
I can't stop that.
that. Okay, So it's like, no, just let them be. Like, just let them be. Protect them, give them some context, set them up to see. And it's so fun watching kids who know that they're not broken operate in the world. It's actually very inspiring because they're so young when they see it.
Yeah, and I think too, it's a relief for parents and for the kids to feel like, well, I can just learn about what happens to me and get interested in it, instead of running from it or being afraid of it. Then you start to make sense to yourself, kind of like that girl, I'll call her Annie, that came in. She's just telling her story about how her parents hoard, and they took off her door to her room because they were suspicious of her, and she has no place to do her homework. And she was describing her life. And I think, once you start hearing yourself, well, you start making some sense. And I think if you get more interested in, well, we all behave in very predictable ways. Like, you have your flavor of habits and I have mine. And not only that, but everybody gets lost, and then they find their way out of it, and then they lost, and we're doing the best, and the bad behavior that we have is our best effort to stabilize. So there's this force that's helping us along, and I think, for people to consider that they have that too, and for parents to consider, well, whatever they're doing because they're trying to stabilize. So, and it makes sense to them. So let me understand them better. That's the piece I think that's missing, is that parents are running scared, understandably, as I have, a 19 and 22-year-old, and they've been, I've, it's been hard. Parenting is 100% the hardest thing that I've ever done.
I
That's
second
may really
that.
made me get my shit together more
Yes, absolutely.
personally, in ways that I don't know that I would have, in terms of patience and reflecting before I act. But it's made me realize, whatever is going on, I got to get out of the fear enough and get quiet and see, okay, do I really understand what I'm dealing with here? It might mean that I'm really strict, and well, maybe more strict once I understand things, but I want to make sure, like, what's going on, that they're doing what they're doing. And I think We don't do that very well for ourselves either. And I think that's something that kids teach us is, first of all, because you try to just parent them however you got parent, with your
Parenting, of course.
ideas
Yes,
and
of
your
course.
impulses and your reactions. And then those don't work. So,
Yeah.
always you have to go back and say, all right, what else am I going to do? And that's where you really start to get close to your kid is when it doesn't work and they're more trouble, it makes you get close to them. And to have moments where a lot of parents will go to their kids and I'll tell them, go and say, look, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, or help me with this, or here's what I'm going to do because it's the best. Yeah, I don't know if it's the right thing, but this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And to at least be honest with themselves about the fact that we're winging it with our kids, just like we are with life. And if you can take some of that fear out of it and trust there's a logic, I don't get it yet, but there's an explanation for this, and this is them trying to stabilize it. It just calms things down for everybody.
There's a point in there I want to pick up and I want to hear your thoughts on. About, I say, 5 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. No, it couldn't have been that long ago because I've only been around 4 or 5 years in the principal's at least. So maybe two and a half, right? My mom called and said my grandmother wanted to talk to me. So she raised me for a lot of my early years. And most people in my neighborhood, if they're older, haven't seen me in a while, they refer to me as my grandmother's third child. So they'll be like, hey, I saw Gwen, who was my mom, and then my uncle. And then I'd be like, where's your third baby? The little boy, where he go? Where he? And she was like, no, that's my grandson, so like that, right?
Oh, that's
But
cute.
about 2.5 years ago, I called her and she didn't want to talk. And so I felt like I had offended her or did something. I was kind of upset about it. I was kind of hurt, honestly. Like she was like, all right, I'm about to go, baby. Bye. Click, hang up. I'm like, Mama, what's wrong? Like, what did I do? And she was like, nothing. She says, I saw a picture of you and I saw the smile on your face. So I know you've seen God. She said, so now I got to worry about your siblings before I get out of here and your cousins. And it was like,
Oh, she wasn't snubbing you. She was like, my energy
yeah.
needs to be somewhere else.
Yeah. Like, you're good.
Oh,
And I cried like a baby.
that's so sweet.
Because I realized I'm 47. So this is probably 40 when I was, let's just say I was 44. That means her experience of me has been worry
Yeah.
for 44 years.
First, worry first.
Worry first. Now I've been in the military, I've been in gangs, I've been in jail. Like, so now I'm really looking at my life like, oh my God, this is her, what she had been. No wonder she always had these messages for me. It was like, now it makes sense why, she wanted me in church every day. Like she was just so scared.
Right.
Given the environment that we lived in, and kids weren't making it to 18, and there was gunfire. She was so
Oh, bless her
scared
heart.
that it was like, oh wow, we all are parents being scared of kids. Long story, but the point I wanted to get from you is, I know you have so much success working with the youth and them being able to see, but what would you say to parents who are worried about those kids or a kid who would be perceived as trouble at risk? Like, what would you say to them?
To me, we behave badly. I'm just using that word, like, because people get it. We do things that make things harder for us. We act out, and it affects our relationship or maybe our legal standing. Because we don't see another. It's an answer to a problem. It makes sense as the best way that we have to handle a situation, and behind it. There's always a stress, a level of something on their mind. There's a problem. There's something on their mind, and maybe doing drugs or skipping school or joining a gang looks like an answer to it. And oftentimes, is when this is my job, but a lot of times for parents, if they can get to understand, like, how you doing? What's going on? What's on your mind? And look past the behavior to see what's behind that behavior. What's on their mind where that behavior that they have to deal with the consequences is a good idea. What do they have on their mind? So now it might not be anything you can help them with. Maybe you don't have a better solution, but to at least understand, especially if you know, look, I can't just let you steal from my purse. But like, what's going on with you that first of all, here's what I'm not going to keep my money in my purse anymore, and I want that $300 back. You can work it off. But like, what's going on? I think that's the thing that people is so valuable. It's just the human experiences. Maybe you don't have that problem, but you've had problems where you've had to take extreme measures. And I think sometimes parents, especially when their kids get to be teenagers, you have to take the parent hat off at certain points to be able to fortify them and be in that corner with them and help them, and at least so they feel like they're not alone. Especially if your tactics aren't working, they're just stepping over you or icing you out, and your tactics aren't working. There's some point at which you're better off just loving them and trusting whatever they're doing. They feel like they have to do that. And so that there's some maybe a channel or a connection that can happen there so that it's not just nothing.
I love that. I had to, for me, I had to take off the table. As parent, I'm right. Because when I saw behavior in my daughters, I was attributing to, oh, that behavior means they're not listening to what I said, and what I said is the law. So in theory, that behavior, what's behind that behavior is disrespect and disobedience.
Yeah,
So
it's
I
perfect.
go, you see
It's
what I mean?
about
Like,
me. Yeah.
yes, exactly. It's about me still.
Yeah.
Nothing about them yet, right? And
Yeah.
it was like, it took a minute to see that. And it was my youngest daughter. She told me, she said, Dad, we couldn't go to the store when we was kids. You wouldn't let us walk to the store, like the corner store or anything. And I was like, yeah, you know, anything can happen. You know, where I grew up, there was what we call crackheads or referred to as crackheads or a gang, you know. She was like, Daddy, we lived on base.
We lived in a bubble.
Yeah,
Nobody's
exactly.
allowed in the bubble.
The likelihood
Yeah.
of somebody soliciting drugs to my daughter
On a military
on a
base.
military base at the corner store,
It's funny, it never occurred to
it
you.
never, never.
But see, that's the thing is
And that was their rules for years.
you're just parenting with from your memory bank. And that's what's so interesting about thought is we our fears come from the past, and they're not labeled as the past. They're labeled as these are the current fears out there. And it's the same reason why, when my husband does gardening over the weekend and he says, don't lock the back door because I'm going to be going in and out the back door all day. And I always lock the door because I can't, you lock every door because I grew up in a city and like you can't, I can't even tell myself to do it. So I
To
have to
just let
put
a
a
door be
note
unlocked.
over the lock while he's gardening because I can't. And I think that's, you walk around like it's just the way the system is set up. And so you want to be looking at, well, what is the risk? Can they go to the store? It's harder to do that than to just parent by impulse and memory. It does take more units of energy to see, all right, well, they're sneaking out and going to the store, or they're giving me pushback, or the system of, announcing the rules is not working.
Working,
So that's how you know, well, if your kid's gone astray, that's when it's time to sit down and say, let me do a current inventory of what is going on, and let me open my eyes and
that is.
yeah.
That is the first time I've ever heard this, but I love what you just said so much. It for a parent, if a youth is acting out, as we call it, or misbehaving, again, like you said, that's the language that everybody understands. And a parent says, wait, My parenting hasn't worked. Let me stop and sit down and get to know them. It's such an act of love. It's such an earmuff moment. Like to say to the child, okay, well, the way I thought instructing or putting things in place to safely move you through life, maybe I did. So let me see, how is life? Like, help me, what is
Yeah,
life like for
what
you?
is going on?
Yeah,
And let
what's
me
good?
factor in
Exactly.
my how I think I should be parenting.
Yes.
What's going on? Right.
Yeah, that seems like a act of love moment, or like an earmuff moment where they go, wait, I'm interesting enough, or I'm worth
Yeah.
you stopping and rearranging how we exist in this current relationship so I can be okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're willing to do, Ma? Dad, you're willing to stop, just let me learn, let me grow. Yeah, if we can
Yeah.
communicate, if we can set this up, because that's the ultimate goal, is for you to get what you want.
Yeah. Or to at least understand me enough to know, well, this
I'm
is
on your
still a
side.
rule, but
Yes,
here's
yes,
why. Or,
yes.
look, I have to do that. I've said that to my own kids. Look, I know you don't like this. And, I'm not always, I'm not here to be your friend. Like, when you have kids, you do it different. But here's, I have to do this, or I can't sleep at night. And
Damn.
maybe it's me being, sh maybe I just, maybe this just humor me.
Yeah.
This is what has to happen. And forgive me if it's being too heavy-handed. But
Yes.
that taking the time to lay it out, they do feel like, because I remember as a kid feeling like I don't listen to myself. I don't know anything. Like I don't know what I'm doing and I don't matter. And I would never speak up about anything. You just like a footnote in someone else's life. And I think that there's something in, especially somebody that's troubled, to know, well, talk to me. Because
Yeah.
if you're doing it, I know it sucks. The fallout of missing a lot of school or being in and out of jail is a problem. Like, talk to me about why that's what's going on. Just a lot of people just have never had anybody interested in, well, you have wisdom and common sense. Like, how come yours is telling you to do that? Like, talk to me. Maybe that is the best way.
There are a lot of people who don't have someone who's willing to listen to them.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant again, full circle with, I really think you did something. That's what we need to do more of.
Right.
Earmuffs, hold space. Just let someone share with no judgment.
Yeah, and that love to be able to live your life and to parent through a feeling of love and looking to understand like the whole picture, what's going on before you launch into your interventions is, it's just, so otherwise you're sort of going in blind.
Well, I thank you so much for hanging out with me and
That's
putting
great.
up with me and talking to me all
Yeah.
the time. But here's what I would like. I've enjoyed, the whole conversation, but I want to leave because we've talked about so much. I want to leave one, two things. One is if you could just, tell anybody where they can find you, because I know you are an active coach, and you run coaching programs and things like that. So just one, you could tell them where to find you. And two, just if you had to kind of sum up what we've talked about or say something totally new and different, just whatever you would like to leave on the listener's heart once the episode ends.
So first of all, I'm the founder of Erica Bugbee Coaching. You can find me there. You can subscribe to my list on my website if you want to, see what I'm up to. I have programs, coaching programs for teenagers and regular people. I train practitioners, so you can come see my programs. And I think, what I would leave people with is, I think, when we see a problem and life is not working, either in your kids or just for yourself, if this is a young person or a regular person listening to this, I think the best thing we can do for ourselves is just to get your mind out of a state of fear and get interested in, like, and what is going on with me, and what is going on with this problem, and get interested in understanding it. neutrally, as if knowing that everybody in the history of humanity has had problems, and maybe emotional problems or behavioral problems or marital problems, and to figure, they've all made sense in retrospect. We can see later what was going on and get interested in understanding things a little bit better, so that you see things that start to make sense and you can see a common sense answer instead of just a reactive answer, which is what happens when we're not interested. So if something looks scary, or if you keep trying to go about it the same way, you probably are shut down, and you stopped your sort of your curiosity and your growth mindset about, like, what am I dealing with? And in my mind, that's how we're designed to work. The way our system is to get interested in life and show up in the moment and see, what am I dealing with? And that's the part I think we skip.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the podcast, please go to 3pgc.org. If you're looking for more information about how to become a practitioner, or you want to be featured on the show as a new, fresh voice in the principles, send us an email at info@3pgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Knowing there is no end or limitation, nor are there boundaries to the human mind, have the day you deserve.